and welcome to our final Girls Horrorcast holiday special. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Today we are interrupting our Friday the 13th marathon with some holiday thrills. We're discussing 1984's Gremlins, 1974's Black Christmas, 1984's Silent Night, Deadly Night, and 2015's A Christmas Horror Story. We're going to skip the whole trailer trash talk thing today because we're doing four movies, and we're also going to be timing how long we talk about each of these movies. We have devoted 15 minutes of discussion time per movie, so doesn't matter if we're mid-sentence, we're stopping. I set an alarm. You will hear it. Let's do this.
What are we jumping into first?
I think we should start with Gremlins.
Awesome.
Gremlins is streaming on Amazon Prime. A Christmas Horror Story is streaming on Netflix. And I just saw that Black Christmas 1974 is on YouTube. I don't know how legal that is, but it happens to be there right now.
I think that might be where I watched it last, or the last time that I watched it.
Yeah. If you want to watch Silent Night, Deadly Night, I think it's a no dice situation. I haven't seen that anywhere unless you want to rent it. So we're going to spoil it. I'm just letting you know. I'm going to spoil everything. I can't not spoil things. I'm terrible at it. So let's get started with Gremlins. I'm going to hit the timer, and we have 15 minutes to talk about Gremlins.
Cool.
And start. Okay, so it's directed by Joe Dante. It's written by Chris Columbus. And let's start.
Cool. This movie was everywhere for me this week, as I told you. I watched it at home, and then it was like on when I was like going to it, like my boyfriend was in the office working and he was watching it, and then it showed at work, and I was like, I can't get away from this movie. Not that I want to, because Gizmo is the cutest thing of all time.
He is the fucking cutest. Always. Although he looks way less realistic than I remember him looking when I was
a kid.
Same.
I thought he was so real.
He looks so real. Now he's like, I think my cousin or my niece has a Furby toy that looks more realistic than Gizmo.
But he makes such cute noises.
He does. The chirping and the candiness.
His singing. Did you know? Oh my God.
Howie Mandel is the voice of Gizmo. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
He is. And apparently they got some little girl to sing the cute little chirpy song, though.
So cute. I can't handle it. I want a Mogwai.
I want a Mogwai so badly, although I am very responsible, and I don't know that I would be able to protect it.
Oh, I would be able to protect it. But, like, Gizmo's smart. Gizmo's like, no, I don't want to eat. I don't want your chicken. It's past my curfew.
I was slightly afraid of this movie when I was little, and then I was babysitting, and the little girl, it was on TV, and the little girl was afraid of it, and then I told her they were just frogs, and they were silly, and then she liked it, and then I was like, oh, it is stupid, and then I liked it.
It's not stupid. It is a great movie.
I wore my sweater today, and so many people complimented me on it, and I felt so special.
Duh.
And then a friend of mine sent me a picture of Ozzy Osbourne wearing my sweater, and I really felt cool. So, just saying.
You have the same sweater as Ozzy Osbourne?
I am basically Ozzy Osbourne. Basically.
That's amazing.
Except for, you know, biting heads off of animals.
Don't do that, ever.
I mean, other than that, we're basically the same.
It's true.
He's like the male British version of me, because identical.
Does that mean your husband is Sharon Osbourne?
No, it doesn't work.
Because she's awesome.
Did you know they're making a Gremlins 3?
No. Are we?
They are making it.
Excited about this? Or
I don't know. I have no idea how I feel about it.
I don't feel great about it when we first tell me about it, but I that's like my gut reaction. I feel like whenever I hear about remaking things.
I mean, the director is I'm sorry, the writer. So it hasn't been announced really yet. But it is on IMDb, and Carl Ellsworth is set up to write the script, and he wrote Disturbia and Red Eye and the newer Last House on the Left, the one from 2009.
Okay.
So he hasn't done terrible things.
Yeah.
You know, those movies aren't great, but they're not awful either. I don't know. I guess that's all you can expect for Gremlins 3, is that it wouldn't be great, but it wouldn't be awful either.
Do you think that Howie Mandel will reprise his role as Gizmo?
I don't know.
God, I sure hope so.
Probably, as long as there's no germs involved.
Be like, don't.
That dude hates germs.
Well, hopefully there are no germs in a voice booth.
Yeah. Michael Winslow did all the other Gremlin voices. And who doesn't love Michael Winslow?
Did he really? I'm looking at the Wikipedia page and there's like people. Like Frank Welker as Stripe, Don Steele as Rockin' Ricky Rialto. Oh, that's not a thing though.
Well, maybe he did like some of the other. Maybe he didn't do all the Gremlin voices, but I believe he did quite a few.
Oh yeah, Mogwai and Gremlin vocal effects provided by Michael Winslow, Bob Bergen, Fred Newman, Peter Cullen, Mark Dodson, Bob Holt, and Michael Sheehan.
All right. I'm wrong. What do you want from me?
You might not be.
Four movies this week. That's a lot of movies.
That's so many. That's so many movies.
I did notice some new things this time. The time machine. I loved the... There's a time machine cameo. I didn't even notice that. Probably because it's been a while since I've seen this movie, and I probably didn't even know what the time machine was last time I saw it. But they show it disappearing and everything. It's awesome.
That is awesome.
Man, poor Pops. He cannot get the whole thing together.
I know. Ooh.
I feel so bad for him, but he... This family is so cute.
I know, my gosh. They're adorable.
Sweet to each other and loving, and it's really nice to see that.
They try to make those crazy inventions just work. They're like, thanks, Dad.
It's really very cute how sweet they are to each other, and like how like Dad can laugh at himself a little bit.
Yeah. Dude, if my dad bought me a Mogwai, I'd be like the most excited person of all time.
Yeah. If you're okay, true story, because you love your dogs more than almost anybody I've ever met.
I do.
In terms of loving dogs and loving your animals.
If you hear heavy breathing right now, it's my corgi. She's laying in my lap. Just FYI.
If you got a Mogwai
tomorrow. Yeah.
And your dog was allergic to it, what would you do?
Oh my God, I don't know. I don't know.
This is the most difficult question Carly has ever been asked.
It is. I don't know. I would try to just make it work. Like, it depends.
The dog is dying.
He's not
dying.
The dog
is definitely allergic. Your dog cannot breathe because the Mogwai's
around. I don't feel like that's a real thing.
My
dogs have never been allergic to anything except for spores.
Well, have your dogs hung out with Mogwai's?
No, but they've hung out with squirrels and gerbils. Hamsters.
They are. Mogwai.
Sugar gliders.
Ooh. It's not related to those animals.
Leia did not like me mentioning all those other animals that weren't puppies.
I'm just saying. Okay, so you refuse to answer the question is basically what you're saying.
I do, because I feel like I would just maybe... I have a house and then also an office, so I feel like I would keep the Mogwai in my office and also maybe take it with me when I go on adventures.
Oh, all right.
I'd make it work. Amy.
You'd have a special Mogwai backpack.
Exactly.
For Mogwai adventures.
Exactly. Leia, well, you can't.
That doesn't answer my question, but whatever. We'll let it go.
Thank you. Leia, shut your mouth.
Your dog is mad at
you. Leia doesn't like the Mogwai situation either, apparently.
She already hates the Mogwai.
She does. She doesn't like the fictional Mogwai, guys.
So... Wait, are there more Mogwais in existence in the world, or is it really just Gizmo?
I don't know, and I think I've always had that question.
Yeah.
Like, are these things readily available in Asia? You just don't know about it, and, like, for some reason, this, like, man has one in his shop for some reason.
I don't know.
Like, where did he come from?
I kind of feel like Gizmo's the only one, and that... Because he can reproduce all on his own. He doesn't need any help from anybody. Except for maybe some water.
Yeah. Where did he come from?
China, I suppose.
That's what I thought.
I think Mogwai means like demon in Cantonese or something.
Yeah. I read that. That's a fun fact.
Demon or gremlin or something like that.
I don't like the doctor doing tests on the Mogwai. I feel bad for him.
No. He's just taking blood from
him. I know, but he's so sad.
Yeah. It seems like it hurts them when you put water on it, so I did get sad when they did
And he
that.
was like, no!
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no!
Well, I felt like when Gizmo got wet, he was more like, you guys are fucking this shit up. Mm-hmm. Not like, this hurts me. But maybe it did hurt him, too.
Scared Gizmo was so sad when he, like, has his worried face. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Okay, we don't have much time left. Let's talk about Phoebe Cates.
Being a babe.
Scene. Well, she's a babe. But also, I want to talk about her scene where she's talking about how her dad died.
Oh, okay. Go.
Because it's the weirdest scene ever. And it's so out of place in this movie. I was watching this movie with my husband, and the second that scene came up, he's like, fuck this, I hate this scene, and walked out of the room. It, like, angered him.
He had a passionate feeling about this Phoebe Cates scene.
And Spielberg and Warner Brothers Studios wanted to cut this scene. They were like, this scene is weird and out of place. And Joe Dante was like, no, it's, like, the perfect metaphor for the film itself, because it's like, is it funny? Is it sad? Is it scary? I don't know. It's all of the things, I guess. But I could do without that scene,
yeah.
I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you. It adds nothing to the movie at all.
It definitely fell a little short for me, too.
Yeah. It's my least favorite scene. Although, my most favorite scene is... I don't know. I think I might really like just the whole bar scene with the gremlins. I think that might be my favorite.
I like them, the gremlins in the kitchen.
Yeah. They're pretty great in the kitchen, too. Mom kicks ass when she's fighting gremlins.
Yeah.
I love that. She shows no mercy. Mm-hmm. She goes for it. She's a fighter, man. And she doesn't look like one. She's just, like, strong.
She takes control.
Beast of a mom. She's fucking taking it. Killing the gremlins any way she can.
I love it.
Go, mom.
Love it.
Yeah. So... I was writing down some of the really fun things that gremlins can do, because they can read, they can talk, they can rewire things. They're basically engineers.
They're basically geniuses.
They're basically geniuses. They can drink, dance, sing, smoke, flash, gamble, play video games, shoot guns, put on puppet shows, put out fires, rob at gunpoint, work a projector, ride a tricycle, shoot a crossbow, and work a chainsaw. And also, they love Snow White.
They do love Snow White. They go to the cinema to check out the Snow White. Oh, my gosh.
They totally do.
They love this. Why aren't Mogwais real? That's what I want to know.
Can Mogwais do all the same things gremlins can do, except gremlins are just, like, bigger?
Probably not. Well...
because. Some of those Mogwais were fucking mean to begin
with. Yeah, I mean, they were all kind of assholes except for Gizmo to begin with. They were all following Stripe.
Yeah.
And he was obviously up to no good.
No. I mean, I love Stripe and everything, but he was being kind of an asshole.
And then gremlins are just terrifying.
The whole time. They are terrifying. They are scarier. But I don't know that they have any other, like... because they seem pretty much the same as a Mogwai in terms of, like, brain power.
Yeah, they're just bigger, and they have longer arms.
Yeah, they have more... it didn't seem like they had any more abilities.
No.
Though.
I think they just get ugly.
Because when they were Mogwais, they were still stringing the dog up.
I know.
With lights.
Puppy.
I know. You know, that dog was supposed to get decapitated in the original version, so you should be happy that
they made it Columbus, more family-friendly. Who are you? You made Harry Potter. You're decapitating puppies? This movie just made me want to watch Gremlins 2, though.
It did?
Yeah, because I love the New York scene.
What? Like, I don't... it's been a really long time since I watched Gremlins 2.
Me too, but
I don't know. But
for some reason,
like
I just... and, like, the Lady Mogwai, or the Lady Gremlin, makes me laugh every time I think about it. I don't know how the story is. I don't remember it very well. But, like, there's certain things that I just remember that, like, it just makes me giggle.
There's a Lady Gremlin in this one. In the poker
That's
scene.
True. That's true.
There's Lady Gremlins in
but
this
But there's
one.
No New York, New York.
That's true. There's no New York, New York. That's a fact. There's no, like... gremlins holding Mogwai toys or whatever the hell's going on in that movie.
Yes.
All right. Mrs. Deagle, also, horrible woman.
She's, like, worse than Miss Gulch.
She's half Scrooge and half Cruella de Vil. That's what I was going to say.
She's terrible.
She's basically both of those people.
She's terrible.
Because she hates dogs. And she also hates Christmas.
I just don't understand how you can hate dogs.
And feed and allowing families to eat.
Yeah, that's very true. She's very Scroogey.
She's very Scroogey. Scrooge-es.
Scrooge-es.
Scroogette.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's the right one. That's the one I'm going to go
with. It is.
Yeah. Okay. My alarm's going to go off now.
Cool.
So, anything else?
No, I'm
wrapping it up. We love Gizmo.
We do.
Gizmo forever.
That's what you can take away from this segment.
Yeah.
Is that
Merry Christmas. We love Gizmo. Okay. Wrapping it up.
I like this. This is good.
Yeah. Speed round. Silent Night, Deadly Night. 1984. Ready? Start.
Santa's watching, Santa's waiting. Christmas Eve is slowly fading. Can you hear him in the night? Close the door, turn out the light.
Directed by Charles E. Sellier, Jr., written by Paul Kimi, based on a story by Paul Kimi, written by Michael Hickey. I think I just wasted our whole 15 minutes trying to apologize. Oh, Silent Night, Deadly Night. How I hate you.
I was going to say, what do you think about it? Cause...
Okay, I don't hate it. I hate parts of it a lot. It's a little too rapey for me. There was a lot of rapey parts.
There was so much rapiness and so many boobs.
Too many rapey
parts. All the boobs.
I'm okay with boobs. I'm not okay with rapey boobs.
But that's what they were, I'd say, like 80% of the time they were rapey boobs.
Yeah, but when they weren't rapey boobs, like when the boobs were on the pool table, and when the boobs were letting the cat in, and they're just flopping around, I'm okay with those boobs.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
There's nothing wrong with boobs. Boobs are fantastic. I'm glad boobs exist. They're wonderful.
Me too.
I don't like it when people are forcibly touching boobs. That makes me uncomfortable and unhappy. And then I can't enjoy the rest of the goofy, stupid movie because of the rapey boobs. And it's kind of like upfront, too. It's like right away, rapey boobs.
Oh, yeah. They lead with the rapey boobs.
Yeah, there's way too many rapey boobs. And it wasn't necessary. You know that Santa's an asshole and is ruining that kid's life. No, there doesn't have to be rapey boobs. I'm going to stop saying rapey boobs now. I'm starting to make myself feel uncomfortable.
This is definitely one of the weirder premises for anything that I've ever seen.
I'm very confused by it all. I will say there's some fucking amazing kill scenes in this movie. Which make absolutely no sense, but I'm okay with it. When he first kills the dude in the back by putting the lights around his neck and, like, basically hanging him. I mean, there's no way he's tall enough or strong enough to do that, but I don't care because it's fun to watch. Same thing when he picks her up and puts her on the antlers. I was like, are you fucking really going there? Because that's crazy shit.
So they kind of lead into it where, like, there's that weird part when he starts working at the toy place where they do like a really bizarre, almost like a 70s opening to a TV show where like they play that song and they just show everybody working. And it's like, here's this guy and he's the stock guy and here's this guy and he's the checker. But like he's lifting things and people and like little kids really, really easily. And so I was like, that looks weird because it doesn't look like when you pick something up and there's like, you know, you have to use like force to like pick them up and then put them back down. Like, I don't know. And so I don't know if that was like done on purpose, but then like later it made more sense to me that he was like throwing everything around.
Yeah, he's super strong. I want to talk about how it's possible. Like, okay, so let's talk about this chick in the pool room for a minute. She's getting down with her boyfriend on the pool table.
Yeah.
And she has to stop because her cat needs to go or come in or whatever.
Yeah.
She puts on Daisy Dukes in the dead of winter.
Yeah.
No top.
Nope.
doesn't bother to put a shirt on, but has to put shorts on and lets the cat in. I'm very confused by this. Why would anybody do this? Why would you choose to put shorts on and not a top to let your cat in the
house? Especially when you're like babysitting and the little girl just almost came downstairs anyway.
I mean, was she babysitting?
Yeah, because that little girl was coming downstairs.
I know, but I thought maybe she was a mom.
Oh, I thought she was like a teenager with her boyfriend over while she was babysitting or something.
Oh, that's probably what it was, but they didn't explain that.
They didn't.
But isn't that weird? Like, I feel like I would either go to the door naked or I would get fully clothed. I wouldn't just put on shorts. That's weird.
And I mean, the shorts weren't more covering than her underwear anyway.
Right. And if I had to pick, I would put a shirt on, not pants, because usually shirts are long enough. I guess maybe hers wasn't. She was kind of like wearing nothing.
Maybe she just really liked being topless.
It's really confusing for me as a viewer why all that was happening. I'm sorry. I'm
glad that's what you took away from the film.
That's really one of the things where I was like, why is that happening?
I don't know. I knew that you didn't like it because I know we briefly spoke about it after you had watched it. And you were just like, what the fuck?
There was also a lot of Christmas music that wasn't actually Christmas mm-hmm. music. It was like made up Christmas music when most Christmas music's public domain. Like, you don't have to have licensing for it. I just thought that was really strange that until the end, they had just a bunch of like made up Christmas songs. I was like, why do
you? Yeah,
that?
They didn't get the memo, I guess.
I mean, not till the end of the movie. They're like, oh, we could actually put songs in this.
I think it's really interesting. So it was released the same weekend as Nightmare on Elm Street, and it actually did better the first weekend. But then the second weekend, it just like dropped by like 50%.
Yeah.
And it's like, I wonder why, because people were seeing it. We're like, that was not great.
Yeah. Well, and why would the nun have Billy work at a toy store on Christmas? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you're going to get this kid his first job. He obviously has issues. You know his issues. You've known him since he was a little kid. You've taken care of him. You love this little boy.
She's setting him up for failure, Amy.
And you're going to put him in a toy store at Christmas time? That's like, this is like all of his hot buttons in one spot. Way to go, lady.
You'd think that she would like maybe mention it.
Or maybe teach him that Santa Claus isn't a murderous asshole and that was a guy in a Santa costume.
I mean, if he doesn't know that by now, he's never going to learn.
But it's like no one explained that to him. Nobody ever said anything like that.
I guess I like assumed a lot of things, but this is also a 1984 horror movie that they probably didn't even really like think about a lot of these questions and that I was probably reading into more than, you know, whoever wrote it, Michael Hickey had planned. He was just like, boobs and murder. And antlers and Santa suit. Done.
Although that sleigh ride part was really funny. He just like decapitates him and the head comes rolling. I'm saying the deaths in this movie are hilarious and fun. But then there's like, I can't. No, with the rapey things. It ruins
yeah.
it. It makes me so I can't enjoy it. I probably could have really enjoyed this movie. But it got really dark. It was a little too dark. For the lightheartedness of the kills and the fun and how he just says punish.
Yeah. It was so weird.
Punish.
Like, so I watched this with Steve and we watched it right after we watched Krampus. Cause we were like, we're just going to be lazy and eat food and watch horror Christmas movies. And so we watched Krampus. So it already put us in like a fun, like whatever mood. And then we were watching this. We were just like making fun of it the whole time. So I had a great time watching this movie. But I feel like if I were to like sit down and actually like, we definitely mentioned a lot of the weird rapey stuff. And we're like, this is kind of uncomfortable. But then something else would happen. And we're like, okay, let's move on to this now.
Well, it just feels out of place.
It does.
You know, it could have been better, I think, without that stuff. But again, I'm sensitive to it, so it hinders my viewing enjoyment as probably other people too. I'm sure I'm not the only one that felt that way. Also, a cop shot Santa in front of children at the end of this movie.
I was like, that brings it full circle. I was like, this movie could take place nowadays.
Now all those kids are fucked up just like him.
Oh my God. And they're like, yeah, because Father O'Malley or whatever his name is deaf.
It would have been nice if that nun continued throughout the film too, because she kind of disappears. The only one that really gives a shit about him.
Yeah.
The one that got him the job.
Yeah.
She is like helping him and then help telling the cops to go after him, and then she disappears and you don't really see her at the end. I kind of like, I would have liked her for her to be the one that was like trying to stop him, you know, instead of Mother Superior, who was crazy. Maybe.
Well, she was there when he got killed, I thought.
Yeah, but she didn't say anything.
No, she didn't.
I feel like she would have had more of a voice there because she's the only one that gives a shit for the beginning
part
of the movie.
I don't know. Maybe at this point, they're like, what can we do for him?
Yeah. Punish.
Poor Billy, because he was really just trying to be a good kid.
Yeah, it was weird because I didn't feel like he was that person. Because they set him up to be such a good kid. Like, he had a sweet mullet.
He had a great mullet.
There's no reason not to like Billy until the end. But then you're like, but where did this person come from? Like, why is he murderous all of a sudden? He's like, he puts on the Santa costume and he realizes that he has to become a murderous.
It was too much. Santa it was too much for him to be in the suit and for him to see a rapey thing happen. And then he was like, I have to save the girl. But then he like murders the guy. And then the girl's freaking out. And then he murders her. And then it's just all over from there.
Yeah. All in all, I'm not sad that I own this now, but I definitely know what parts to fast forward through and which to watch. That's for sure. I'm kind of excited to watch the second one. I haven't watched
it yet. I'm curious to see the remake.
There's a remake?
Yeah, I just found out about it. It's like loosely, quote unquote, based on this one. Okay. When did it come out? Let me see if I can find when it came out. I don't know.
You're wasting our precious
time. I know. Talk about something else.
I like how there were actual bows and arrows in a children's toy store.
It was filmed in Utah. It's like legit possible that that is a thing. Because Steve kept on saying how much it looked like Idaho. And so I had to look it up. And I was like, no, it was filmed in Utah, but close enough.
I'm sure that they loved having a movie like this filmed in Utah.
I know.
Seems.
They're like, there's nuns. And they're like, oh, okay. That's fine.
Yeah. They're not Mormons, so it's fine.
Yeah.
No Mormons would do anything like that. I'm getting strangely religious now. Sorry.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize there were so many. Like Silent Night Part 2, Silent Night, Deadly Night 3, Better Watch Out, Part 4, Initiation, Part 5, The Toymaker. Here we go. The Loose remake was just titled Silent Night, and it came out in 2012.
I'm sure that was
Malcolm McDowell is in it. Jamie King, Brendan Furr. That's weird.
Here you go, folks. Us discovering
and stuntman Rick Skeen as Ronald Jones Jr., the Killer Santa. I don't know who that is.
Oh my goodness.
They pointed it out.
Yeah, this whole movie just plays like Don't Be Catholic movie. Because there's a lot of, like, sexual suppression and ignore your mental issues. And, like, it's a lot of, like,
do things that make you uncomfortable or you'll be punished.
Yeah, or you'll be, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kind of all came flashing back for me too, Billy. All those years of, sorry, Mom. My mom probably looked at me. I take it back. I don't know. It's a weird movie. It's a weird movie. I see the merit in it. I see why it's popular. Like I said, the kills are the best part of this movie. Everything else is stupid. Just like fast forward through. Although the grandpa scene, you gotta watch that because that's insanely ridiculous.
Yes.
That is like, I don't. Grandpa. I don't even know why. It's just such the whole thing is weird. Like, I don't even know who
the cutest
this.
Little boy at the beginning being like, I promise I won't be bad anymore. And then he does a little adorable skip out of the room with Grandpa.
Ugh. Grandpa's fucked up.
Grandpa wants to scare the shit out of that little boy.
Oh, we're done talking about Silent Night, Deadly Night. Okay, I'm stopping it. What's next?
What is next? Black Christmas?
Let's do Black Christmas
cool.
next.
Cool. I love this movie. Sorry.
Oh my god, talking about this movie.
I jumped back in. I jumped in real fast.
It's okay. Ready? Press and start. And...
Hello?
Yes. The caller is in the house.
The calls are coming from the house.
Jess!
Jess! Get up! And don't go up there!
Black Christmas, 1974, directed by Bob Clark, written by Roy Moore, and it's awesome. It's my...
So good.
I haven't watched this movie in a couple years, even though I own it and I love it, and it scared the crap out of me again. I was alone at night, and it scared the crap out of me again, and, like, I had to turn it off. Once the phone started ringing at the end, I was like, yeah, okay, I'm done. I love it so much. It's so scary.
It's so good. Olivia Hussey, still a babe. She was in the OG Romeo and Juliet. And we've got Margot Kidder.
Love Margot.
From You Do, You Do. Original Amityville Horror. And then Keir D'Elia from 2001 A Space Odyssey.
And Andrea Martin.
There's like so many people.
Which I just found out.
Yes.
Andrea Martin, who is Phyllis. And was in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. I was like, she looks so familiar. What do I know her from? And then I looked it up and I was like, she looks exactly the same too. She looks fantastic.
I love it.
Love it.
I love it so much. So this movie is just so solid. And
so it's almost
based on,
perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Based on the babysitter and the man upstairs, urban legend,
yes.
Which is like... terrifying for anybody who babysat when they were younger.
It's terrifying for anybody, period. It's a terrifying urban legend, and I love it. It's almost as, like, that one and the clown one. Oh my god, the clown one gets me, too. Do you remember the clown one?
Uh-uh.
The urban legend where there's, like, a clown doll, but it's actually a person. And it kills...
No, I hate that.
Oh my god, it's so bad. And as I said that, my cat walked right by me and... scared the crap out of me by moving the curtain right next to my face. Oh, so you want to hear a funny Black Christmas story?
Yeah.
So I was living on Long Island up in Greenport, which is like up at the very North Fork, almost at the end of Long Island, really far away from everything, totally dead at wintertime, only has tourists. Like it's basically got nothing in the winter. It's so cold and horrible. Mm-hmm. And I was living in this two-story house. I was living in the second story. They split it into apartments. And I was living on the second story. So we had the second story and we had the attic. And the attic was in our room. So, like, there's a real-life door, like an actual regular door to the attic, and the actual staircase going up to the attic because it's a super old house. So the door didn't close all the way. Like, it would latch, you know, the little thingy that, like, keeps the door from opening. It was very short. It was too short. So, like, it would sometimes open if the air pressure was weird in the house or there's a breeze or something. So,
gotcha.
The night after I watched Black Christmas, I have an attic door in my room. And it opened on its own in the middle of the night and made this sound. And I pissed my pants and I was so scared.
I don't blame you. That's terrifying.
This movie was scary enough on its own, but that just made it so much scarier, and I couldn't even deal. I swear to God, it scared the crap out of me.
Oh,
this
man.
This movie still scares me a lot. I love it. It's so good.
It's so good, and I was so excited about this movie that, like, I, like, obviously got way more into this than, like, the other movies that, like, are good, but I wasn't, like, you know... Like, this movie is, like, such a quintessential horror movie. It's so amazing. And I feel like it's so interesting because I didn't realize that the role of Mrs. Mack was originally offered to Betty Davis, which would have been like also amazing, but like, you know, I can't envision anybody different. And then Phyllis was offered to Gilda Radner, but she had Saturday Night Live commitments. And like, both amazing women, but like at the same time, I can't imagine it any other way.
If it was casted any different, it would be such a different movie.
Yeah.
I thought that, I mean, this movie is just ahead of its time almost. I don't know. It was one of the first real slashers around the same time. I mean, definitely there was some before it. There was like Psycho and some other movies that before it that were considered slashers. But this is like one of the first modern slashers. Like this, there's so many copycats after this. And even John Carpenter said that this movie heavily influenced Halloween and made him want to do Halloween. And Halloween was originally supposed to be a sequel to this movie. When he first started like writing it and doing conceptualizing it, that he says this movie heavily influenced Halloween, and you can totally tell. Also, Billy is probably one of the scariest killers to me because you never see his face; all you see is his eyeball. His voices are fucking creepy as shit. Ugh, scares the crap out of me. Scares the pants off.
What he says is like horrifying. Super fucked.
So fucked up. Well, and when they were filming this, they were, you know, the director would like say the lines of Billy while the girls had the ear to the phone, but he was like not even saying the worst stuff. He was saying like mild things compared to what they actually put in the movie, because I couldn't imagine having to say that with someone looking at you, like even
no
as an
way.
Actor.
It's so crazy. Yeah. And they're just like, oh, and Margot Kidder's being sassy.
I love it. She's so hilarious. Sassy in this, and I love it.
Me too. She's so great.
The whole fellatio thing with the police office, it kills me. There's so much comedy in this too. It's a lovely combination of comedy at the beginning and then slowly just like agonizing horror. Like, it's great. It's almost a flawless film. I'd say if
it really is.
I had some complaints. I have two minor complaints. One is there are times when Billy is on the phone and he is screaming into that phone and it's dead silent in the house and there's no way they couldn't tell that that he was in the house, right? Like,
yeah.
There's a couple times when that happens, mostly at the end when the house is actually quiet, where I'm like, if he was screaming and he's just in one of the bedrooms, like, they're showing where
he's
he is.
He's in the attic, isn't he?
No, at one point he was in, I think he was in Phyllis's room after he killed Phyllis, and he called, and you could see him hang up the phone. It was obviously a bedroom. It wasn't the attic at all. Hmm. And you could hear him, like, he's screaming, and he's using all these different voices, which they used three voices when they recorded his voices. But I just was like, you would hear that. I mean, it's a big house, but I feel like you would still hear it. He's screaming. How could you not hear that with both ears?
Yeah, it wouldn't be as scary then. Either.
That's true. Again, almost flawless. And then at the very end, when the police leave her alone, I'm like, why are you doing that? I would die. Take me out of this house immediately.
Seriously.
Why would dead bodies get to go to the hospital before me? Sorry, they don't. They're already dead. Take me to the hospital.
That's so
first.
Funny.
Get me the fuck out of this house.
Yeah.
Because they tried to explain it. They were like, oh, there's just not enough room in the ambulance and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, they get to go after.
Call the coroner, take the live person and the ambulance.
It's freezing outside. Just put them in the snow. Yeah. They're not going to go bad.
It'll be fine. They're fine.
Because if I woke up in the same house that I was just traumatized in by myself, I would fucking flip. I would fucking flip. That's a terrible thing to do to somebody, and I feel like that's totally unrealistic and would never happen. But those are my only two things. So every time at the end, I'm like, no, don't leave her alone. What are you doing?
Ugh. It's so funny because when I was watching this the first time, when I watched it earlier this month, I watched it over Thanksgiving with some of my friends. I was just thinking the whole time, like, did this movie come first or was it When a Stranger Calls? Because like the first scene in When a Stranger Calls is like the same thing. The voice is coming from, or the calls coming from inside the house. And then the rest of the movie gets really boring. But I guess this movie came out like 4 years before, I think.
Yeah.
I think When a Stranger Calls was like 79 or something like that.
From the same urban legend. So,
yes.
I mean, it makes sense. There's any urban legend is going to have like a bunch of movies about it. That's just how it is. I'm yes. okay with that. Even if it came after, I'm okay with it. This movie is a million times better than When a Stranger
Calls. Yeah, no, it's so much better. And but I was just like, what, like Black Christmas is so amazing. That's part of the reason why I was thinking about it. And When a Stranger Calls falls so short.
Yeah.
That like, I almost was like, why did they even try to make a movie when this movie was just like the best?
So I agree 100%. Okay. So some interesting things is that, did you know that Steve Martin loves this movie?
I did not, but that's excellent.
He loved this movie. He was, he met Olivia Hussey when they were doing a movie or something. And he was like, oh, Olivia Hussey, you were in my favorite movie. And she was like, oh, was it Romeo and Juliet? And he was like, no, Black Christmas.
Perfect.
Which I thought was so great. And Elvis also loved this movie. And his family watches it every Christmas to honor him. And that's aww. Like kind of creepy and kind of awesome at the same time. I hope that my family watches Black Christmas after I die.
I'm happy that they changed the name to Black Christmas because it was supposed to be Silent Night, Evil Night.
Yeah.
Or that was the original theatrical release, and I think it showed in a couple states under that name.
Yeah.
Name.
Black Christmas is a good name. It's a good name. Although, if you're trying to find songs from the movie Black Christmas and you type it into YouTube, you get a lot of, like, soul Christmas music.
I was thinking, like, my mind went to metal. I was like, do you get a lot of metal?
No, not black metal music. It's more like R&B Christmas, which I was like,
gotcha.
I would never type in black Christmas music to, like, YouTube. That's weird. I couldn't think of R&B or, I don't know. I don't understand the way search engines work.
Amazing.
Anyway, had a really hard time finding Black Christmas theme songs. I guess there isn't one really, but, you know. Songs in the movie. Anyway,
just play the. Oh no, don't, because it's really creepy. Creepy calls.
You know, I was recording some sound bits for the episode, and I started downloading one of the phone calls, and I was like, nope, not gonna be able to listen to that again.
Delete it.
I'll find something else that's good. Nobody wants to listen to that. I'm good. Yeah, the acting in this movie is really good.
Yeah.
It's really good, especially for, like, an early 70s horror movie. Like, it's fantastic. I mean, this and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, really some of the best movies to come out of the 70s, I think.
Agreed.
And this movie...
I 100% agree.
People don't think about it very much when they think... Like, people always talk about Halloween, and they always talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This movie is up there, man. It is good. It is near flawless. And it's...
I think it's better than... At least Halloween.
I personally like it more than Halloween, and I love Halloween.
I do, too. I like it better than Halloween.
I just think it's so, like, you don't know who the killer is. You still don't, even at the end.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I think it's just really great.
It's so good. Did you ever see the remake?
I didn't.
I didn't either.
I didn't feel the need to, because I love this movie so much. I didn't need it.
Yeah, although, they didn't need to change anything about it.
I have heard that it's good, and I'm sure it is. And maybe I'll catch it eventually if it's streaming somewhere. But this movie is, there's some movies that are remade that I'm like, it doesn't matter if it's good or not. Like, I hope that it gets a new generation interested in this movie. That's what I think remakes are really good for, is getting a new generation interested in older movies, maybe watching originals. I don't feel the need to watch it. This movie is so good to me. Like, I just love it.
It's so amazing. I'm really excited that we did this.
Me too. I kind of wish we could devote more time to it, because I'm like trying not to talk more about it, but I just love this movie so much. I really hope you guys watch this if you haven't already. Really, really worth your time. I highly recommend it. All right. Let's wrap this one up. Oh, we have 30 more seconds if you have anything else you'd like to add.
It's real great, and I love it. And you should see it.
Everyone go see it. Buy it. Don't even rent it.
Buy it.
Buy it. Yeah. Just, you want to own it. You do.
Buy this movie film.
Buy the movie film so you have it and can enjoy it every holiday season, just like Elvis's family. Don't you want to be like Elvis's family?
Oh.
Is that your Elvis impression?
Yeah.
I really liked it, Carly. It's really good.
And the lip thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Done talking about Black Christmas. All right. Now we have to talk about A Christmas Horror Story 2015. Yes. Starting it now.
Who's there? I knew it. Krampus. Vile enemy of Christmas. We end this tonight.
Okay.
Yes.
So, A Christmas Horror Story 2015, directed by Grant Harvey, Stephen Hoban, and Brett Sullivan, written by James Key, Sarah Larson, Doug Taylor, and Pascal Trottier. Trottier. I'm going to go with Trottier. I like the French-sounding names.
Do the fancy one.
Okay. So this was the main people who created this film are also the same people who created Ginger Snaps. Same directors, editors, writers. They thought that was interesting. Have you seen Ginger Snaps? It's been a while since I've seen it.
No. I think I remember watching it a really long time ago, but I don't have any idea what it's about. I know the cover of the thing, werewolves. The DVD looks like.
It's about werewolves.
Okay, yeah, no.
Young girls that are werewolves when they turn, when they hit puberty or something like that.
Why are there so many writers?
I don't know.
That's a lot of writers. Well, I guess there's like a lot of different segments, I guess.
There is. There's a lot of segments.
I will say I did not like this movie.
I didn't like it either. I liked the changeling storyline.
So I felt like it wanted to be like Trick or Treat with all the stories, but nothing intertwined. And the first and last story that we see is Santa. And then that story ends up not even being real. And I personally would have much rather just seen Krampus and Santa throw down.
I could not handle the CGI in this movie. I felt like I was watching a cartoon and not a good one. Like one of those shitty ones that was on the Disney Channel in like early 2000s. It's very specific, but they had a lot of bad CGI cartoons then.
Like the acting was really bad.
Really? No. And the stories weren't that great. I'm sorry.
No.
I know people like to watch Santa and Krampus fight. It's just not the kind of horror movie I'm interested in.
I would have preferred it to what ended up happening because it just totally took... I mean, it's the last thing that you see and it totally like disregards all the other stories that we've seen.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. It like this movie made no sense to me and not in a like campy way.
Yeah.
Like it wanted to be serious, but it was just like really poorly done. I felt.
Let's do them one by one. So okay. Our first story is Santa and his workshop, which let's just go through it. So Santa is at his workshop. He's got his elves with their stupid names, Sparkle and Taffy or whatever the fuck their names are. It's like horrible, like really like way too cheesy names. And then some kind of virus strikes out with them and they turn into zombie elves, which I just really hate this. The second it starts, I hate it so much because it's trying to be so campy. And I'm sorry. If you're going to be campy, you have to be, like, campy by accident. When you're campy on purpose, I roll my eyes and I'm done.
The noises that they made, the way that they spoke was really obnoxious.
Yeah.
Like, I watched that and I was like, I need to go do laundry. Like, I had no desire to, like, sit there and, like, pay attention.
I don't blame you. I had a hard time fighting through this one, too. And it was the longest of all the ones we watched.
So it was rough.
It was rough. It was hard to get through it. This was by far my least favorite story. Santa elves, zombie elves. I don't care. I didn't think they were scary. I didn't think the kills were fun. Like, I was just, it's just like, I watched it because I had to. and for no other reason. Although I know people like this one, and I guess it's fun. Maybe I wasn't in the mood for it. I really just didn't like it. Especially the Santa Workshop storyline. All right, what else do we have? Auntie's house. They're going to Auntie's house, and they're going to go visit Great Aunt, whatever her face is. And she has a Krampus statue, and they break it, and shit goes down.
And the whole family is really just, like, full of assholes.
They're just terrible people.
Like, the son's an asshole. The girl teenager's fine. She's whatever. But, like, the mom's a B-word. The dad's just obnoxious. Like, there's nobody likable at all. They're all just, like, stereotypical bad people.
I didn't care what happened to them. I wanted them all to get killed by Krampus. I was okay with it. The Krampus tongue CGI... Yeah. Ugh, it was so bad. It was really, really gross. Bad. It just didn't look
good. It was terrible.
It looked stupid. And it was stupid. All right, next story. St. Joseph's. The St. Joseph's storyline with the convent in the basement of the school and the girl, Immaculate Conception, and then tried to abort her baby, and then something bad happened, and then the girl ends up having her baby. Again. Also, a really uncomfortable sex scene. These kids are way too young for me to be watching them have sex on screen.
Yes.
And it was pretty vivid.
Graphic?
Graphic. Yeah. It was, you knew exactly what was happening. There was no imagination needed. I felt really uncomfortable and not in a good horror movie way, just in a, why am I even watching this kind of way?
This is the second time I felt this way in this movie.
What was the first time?
The little kid and his mom.
Oh. Yeah. I forgot about that.
That weird sex situation.
Yeah, but that didn't bother me as much, I feel like. Because they didn't show the kid, and you knew he wasn't really a kid at that point.
That's true, but it still was like that's a little weird.
These were actual teenagers, and I'm just like...
Yeah.
Uncomfortable with it. There was...
No, I know what you mean.
It didn't need to be that. Obvious, like we could have figured it out,
yeah,
without everything that happened to show us. We get
yeah,
it. They're obviously kids, they're not adults yet.
I don't know, it was boring. The like ghost effects were not good.
I don't know. Santa hat. It's like I've been recording with a Santa hat on, guys. I'm trying to get in the Christmas yep. spirit.
It looks awesome.
But it's, like, too much now.
Yeah.
They also were singing the same song at St. Joseph's in the St. Joseph's storyline as they did in Last Shift. It was the same, like, creepy, like, Jesus song.
In Last what?
In The Last Shift, the movie we did, The Last Shift.
Oh, yeah.
So, what else? Oh, so let's talk about Tree Boy, the Tree Boy Changeling story, which was by far my favorite story.
It was the best one out of all of them, for sure.
By far, the best story, the most interesting story. They could have elaborated and made it longer. In fact, why didn't they just make that a full-length film? Because that's the only story that I give a shit about in this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Little boy,
they hate us.
Little boy is creepy. His eyes glow. He crawls on the ceiling. He does creepy things. Dad has alcohol issues and anger issues.
But let's be real here. Mom is being a little too overprotective. If my child stabbed someone with a fork, I would probably be pissed.
You know, that was weird how they didn't really care that much that he stabbed him with a fork. That same exact scene happens in The Possession, the movie The Possession. And the daughter stabs the dad with a fork in the hand. And I feel like the reaction in that movie was way more realistic than this one.
Yeah, like I would be like, what the fuck are you doing? Are you kidding me? Go to your room.
Yeah.
Or like something worse.
They did send him to his room, but.
Yeah, but like it took a while. And she like scolded the dad first, who's clearly like trying to like make things better. Like obviously he did something that he fucked up and he's like back in the role of dad.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to play nice.
It did, it did feel like that. Like he did something bad. Maybe he hit the kid or something. And mom
like he obviously he says that he wasn't around last year.
Yeah.
So we know that he's back.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This was definitely the most interesting story.
It was. It was the easiest one to watch in terms of enjoyment.
Yeah.
It had the best story, the most interesting story. But still not the greatest story.
And no.
I would have liked to have more information, though. I could see this being a full-length feature. I think it would be pretty easy to make it a full-length feature. It would just, you know, you'd have to kind of ease into it more. But all in all, this one was okay by me. And
yeah.
But it really stuck out in terms of realisticness. Everything else seemed really cheesy. This had, like, a lot of, like, emotion in it. The acting was probably the best of all of them.
100% agree.
So it really stuck out like a sore thumb because of how much better it was than everything else. It happens. It happens in these types of movies. Okay, what else? What other stories we have? We have the DJ radio show story starring William Shatner, which William Shatner was great in this. I had no problem with his scene, although we don't really know what's going on. And he's kind of the whole, like, link them all together type person, right? But it doesn't
link them all together.
It doesn't quite work the way it's supposed to. But I think he did a good job.
No, his scenes were great.
Yeah.
I have nothing negative to say. It just doesn't. That's what I'm saying. Like, this movie is not a full movie. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to why they were cut, like, the scenes were cut the way that they were, that, like, led from one story to the next.
Right.
There was, like, no reason for Dangerous Dan to be narrating. He's not narrating anything. I mean, he mentions, like, the school kids that were killed last year.
Right.
But, and obviously, like, the dude that says fuck Christmas is, like, the Santa Claus or whatever.
Right.
But, like, there's no real tie-in in any shape, way, or form.
And they could have done that. There could have been more of that, and it would have made it better. I am glad that the stupid Santa Claus thing ended up being bullshit, because that was by far the worst part of all of it. But they could have done a better job of that. It was jolting, and not in a good way. Not in the way it was supposed to be jolting. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know. The short stories were really long stories. Like, they felt long. There was a lot of, like, background and history and a lot of them. And it was kind of like, well, I don't know. That's kind of, I feel like Trick or Treat really mastered this kind of thing where there's just, the stories are short and sweet, but there's enough of them and they intertwine. And, you know, you can't expect that.
That's what's fun about Trick or Treat.
But you can't expect that from this film, because this is, like, a low budget shit fest.
But don't try to do, I mean, Trick or Treat wasn't, like, a major budget movie. It got shelved, but, like, and this movie probably got plenty of money from Netflix. I don't know how much, obviously, but
it's
like, they knew
movie.
Where it was going. Oh, it's not? I thought it was.
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought someone said it. I thought I had read it was.
No, but it came out last year.
Oh, okay. Then never mind. I take that back. Yeah. But still, Trick or Treat wasn't a high budget movie either, but, like, the story was there.
Yeah.
And, like, they had the site to, like, say, we're going to take these different stories and we're going to intertwine them. They might not have anything to do with each other right now, but, like, if you're in one scene, you can see some guy walking around from, you know, whatever. But, like, this movie, like, they were three separate stories that had no reason whatsoever to be cut and intertwined, because they didn't intertwine. It would have made more sense for them to just make it like an anthology.
Yeah, it would have. It fell short. The conceptualizing of this film was just, it fell short. And I don't know. The CGI was really, really jolting. Like, I couldn't look past it. I couldn't enjoy the elf zombies. I feel like it's not a bad idea, I guess. It's not my favorite. Oh, yay! We get to stop talking about it.
Thank goodness.
Saved by the Bell.
Two thumbs down.
Fuck that movie. Sorry, guys. Didn't like it. I know some of you liked it. I'm glad someone likes it.
I would love to know why.
Yeah. Tell us why.
Like, not in a dick way. Like, I honestly, like, I am always one of those people that I try to find, like, the good in movies. So, like,
My assumption is just because it's kind of, like, fun and light and whatever.
Yeah.
And people like holiday-themed horror movies. They just do.
It's true.
That's why Krampus was so successful.
Oh my, Krampus was so good.
I need to rewatch that. We'll do that next year.
Like, because I went to Universal Horror Nights and the Krampus maze was, like, by far the best maze. And I was just, like, remembering, like, they did so well. Like, it looked so good. You'll have to come up for Halloween next year.
I will. I'll try and get up there for Halloween. At least for some fun stuff.
Yeah, even just, like, a weekend, we'll just plan, like, Horror Nights or something.
True. That would be fun. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about what we're doing, what we're up to. You had, like, some fun stuff happening yesterday.
Oh my god, guys. I met Carrie Elwes Wesley from Princess Bride, which is my number one favorite movie of all time and has been since I was very small. And so, and obviously, like, I love Robin Hood Men in Tights. Like, I grew up watching it. And so, like, meeting Carrie Elwes is, like, I don't think I've ever been as excited to meet anyone in my entire life. Like, I feel like the only person that maybe I'd be more excited to meet is, like, Harrison Ford.
Wow. Strong praise.
I know. I love him so much.
And
he looked amazing.
I love him, too. And Princess Bride is one of my favorite movies as well. It's a fantastic movie. And I'm jealous. I kind of hate you. And I don't know what else to say about it.
I, like, wasn't prepared. Like, I wasn't emotionally prepared for what happened last night.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm really happy for you. I'm also insanely jealous and kind of upset. But I will get over it.
Come live in L.A. We'll do this stuff all the time.
I just can't, girl. I can't live there. It's too much. It's too much of everything for me.
It's just enough.
Like San Diego. I'm just a San Diego girl. All right. Stuck here.
That's fair. San Diego's wonderful.
I also own a house here. I'm not moving.
Fair enough. That's fair.
Yeah, I'm going on a cruise. I'm heading out tomorrow morning, going up and visiting some of my husband's family, and then we're setting sail Christmas Day. We're going to Ensenada, Catalina, and I'm just going to...
See, I'm jealous about that.
I'm just going to drink a lot and play trivia games, because that's what I like to do on cruises.
Amazing.
What are you doing for the holidays? You guys just sticking at home?
We're going to go to, on Christmas Day, we're going to go do the Queen Mary in Long Beach.
Oh, nice.
They do this, like, Winter Wonderland thing there every year. And so this year it's, like, Alice in Wonderland theme. So I don't know if they have, like, fun, you know, whatever. Everything's going to be themed that way. But then they also have, like, tubing and an ice rink, and they show Polar Express in 4D. And so we're just going to kind of, like, it snows. So we're just going to kind of, like, get out of LA and be transported into snowy Wonderland.
That's so nice. That sounds like
a
lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited just to have some time off and relax and just enjoy life for a little while, get over this year and start again for next year. Although I really I feel like we need to say something about Carrie Fisher, because I just heard about her and I'm worried. And so Carrie Fisher, I hope you're okay. I hope. And by the time this airs, I'm sure people will know, but I hope she's okay, because I don't know.
2016, don't you fucking do it.
It would be really sad. It would be really
but
nice.
From what I heard, like, her brother said that she was in stable condition.
Well, that's good.
So
pull through.
If you don't know, for some reason, the day that we're recording this is the 23rd, and she was flying back from London to LA, and she had a heart attack on the plane, and I guess wasn't breathing for like 15 minutes or something. And they were, like, doing CPR on her, and then, like, immediately when they landed, it was 15 minutes before they landed, so, and then, like, she got taken immediately to the hospital and was in critical condition, but then her brother said that she was stable, so hopefully, hopefully she is okay and pulls through.
Yeah. Well, looks good, so I hope so.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? Anything else that we should discuss? Next week, we're finishing up Friday the 13th with part 7 and 8. So we're going to go to Manhattan with Jason. Have you seen that one?
Is anybody else excited about that?
I am so excited about it. I love Jason Bateman. It's such a great one.
I have seen it, but I haven't seen it in years.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I don't want to talk about it now because I want to be able to enjoy talking about it next week. But it's a great send-off for our Friday the 13th saga that we will be closing out. And we will be starting anew in January with some really fun movies I'm excited about. We got some good things planned out for January. Also, guys, you'll be so proud of me. I ordered stickers. Woo! I did. I bit the bullet. I bought the stickers. They are on their way to me.
Happy Christmas!
By the time I get back from my cruise, they will be on my doorstep. And then I can start sending them to all of you lovely listeners that we love you so much. And we can finally thank you with some beautiful stickers. Do you want a sticker? Do you want two stickers? All you have to do is go on iTunes, give us some 5 stars, give us a little rating if you want. Write a little comment, write a little review, and then send an email to finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com. That's finalgirlshorrorcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Give us your name and your address, and we will mail you free stickers. That's it. That's all you got to do.
Who doesn't love free stickers?
And if you have already done that, or if I have mentioned to you, I'm going to send you stickers, you don't have to go through all that. Just send me an email with your name and address, and I'll get those to you. As promised previously. You know who you are.
You
and
know.
I also know who you are. So don't try to pull some shit. People who didn't know who you. Trying to get
She's
stickers.
She's a keeping up list.
I know who you are. I know your names. That just got really weird. I'm sorry.
It's all good. I was going to say something and then I hesitated. And then I was like, it's too late. The moment's passed.
It's not too late. Say it, girl.
I don't even remember what I was going to say. I was just going to say something about you being really prepared. And on it.
I'm never prepared, but that's okay.
You're so on it. You are prepared.
I try to be prepared, but no matter how prepared I think I am, I'm just never prepared enough. But I will get there eventually.
You're good.
I work towards it every week when I talk to you lovely people. So I'm getting better. Did you see my Starry Eyes Fuck 2016 post?
Yeah.
I was very proud of that. Check that out on Twitter or Instagram if you follow us there.
It's great. I'm
very proud of that. Also, I did a poll of the 4 movies we discussed today to see what everyone's favorite was of the 4. And with 11 votes so far, there's still 12 hours to go. So it could change. But right now, Gremlins is in the lead with 73%.
Interesting.
0 votes for Silent Night, Deadly Night. 0 votes for A Christmas Horror Story. Thank you, people. We don't have a lot of listeners.
We're on the same page.
But our listeners are really smart. So I take quality over quantity any day.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little bit sad that only a few people voted for Black Christmas, but Gremlins is still a fantastic choice, and I take it. Although I think I would vote for Black Christmas. What would your vote be?
I would vote for Black Christmas.
Yeah. We're kind of twinsies today. We are kind of agreeing on everything.
I know.
It's weird. Our discussions are getting boring because we're agreeing on everything.
No, we didn't totally agree on Silent Night, Deadly Night.
That's true.
We agreed that it was rapey, but I had a great time watching it, whereas you did not.
Well, yeah, my husband, like, stormed out of the room because he's probably really tired of me watching Christmas horror movies because I've been doing it all
he's
week.
He's like, can't we just watch The Grinch or something?
Probably. Oh, I don't blame him. Not everyone is as weird and creepy as we are, and that's okay.
It's true.
Kind of good that he's not, because then it gets me to watch other things sometimes. Ugh. All right, are we ready to close out?
We are.
All right, guys, well, thank you for listening. Have a very happy holiday. I'm gonna get this up super quick so you guys can all listen before Christmas, and we love you and thanks for listening. It's been a great year, and I think it'll be 2017 by the time our next episode drops. Maybe not.
I think so, unless we record early, I guess.
Well, let's just say it's going to be the last episode of 2016. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for starting this journey with us. We're so excited.
We are. And we love you, and thank you. Good night. Good night.